Welcome to Try Love Speaks podcast. You have entered at your own risk. I do not sugarcoat anything, and I give you the absolute and unedited version of myself. There will be moments when you say, "Did she just say that?" So I urge you to proceed with caution. I try daily to be an open book, an open forum for information, for life's ups and downs, for everything that we're dealing with on a day-to-day basis, and things that you do not even think of. So welcome, sit back and relax. Feel free to comment, share, like, and respond. I read and I love feedback, and I'll read every message that's sent to me. Thank you so much. I would also like to say, any unauthorized use and any duplication of this material that I share with you without express and written permission from myself, the author and the owner of my podcast, is strictly prohibited. Excerpts and links may be used provided the full and clear credit is given to Lisa Hathorn or Irreplaceable Tribe or Try Love Speaks, with the appropriate and specific direction to the original content. Sit back and enjoy. Welcome to my podcast. Good evening. Hello, everybody. Hello. This is an evening of conversation, unedited, and giving you the straight up real. I have a lot to unpack, a lot to say, and I am just going to just go with it, okay? So, we have been experiencing so many different, so many different areas of, I don't know what in the world is going on, situations, in 2020, that it is very hard to put your finger on what should we concentrate on the most, right? So, I thought it would be very appropriate to play in my background Childish Gambino, "This Is America." For the things that are going on in this world right now are up front and personal. But what we don't understand is there's been a lot of things going on up front and personal for several years now. And the reason why it did not get our attention or put a bleep in our everyday life is because we got to continue with life as we know it. So this year we were hit with the gut-punching words, COVID-19, otherwise known as coronavirus. So first we went through the tissue episode where everybody was clearing out all the aisles. Then we went through the episode where everybody was taking all the food off the shelves. Those times were kind of combined. And then we got to the point where we were basically on lockdown. During lockdown, we got to see life as we got to ignore it. We got to see an upfront and personal view of what teachers complained about, what teachers dealt with on a day-to-day basis, because guess what? Our kids were home with us, and we were now put into the teacher's place. I know several of us wrote letters. Several of us just simply sent out emails, "Dear teacher, blah, 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 I was wrong." And those were all eye-openers. COVID-19
and its essence is still flowing and hitting us hard, gut punching us hard. It is nowhere near over. The conversations about that is flowing daily and is told to us clearly that the worst has not come. And the scary part about COVID-19 is it is so new to everybody that nobody really can say everything, to tell you everything to do when it comes to this virus, but they can tell you everything that they've learned and to take heed in it. And one of the biggest travesties that I've seen since this virus has finally taken on legs and have affected over 2 million people in America, that the conversations about masks, it's not that hard, you guys. Put on a mask. It's not a major decision. It's not a lifetime decision. It's not even the rest of the year decision. It's possibly the rest of this year decision. But wearing a mask, it's not the end of the world. And most of the people that don't wear a mask, they can't even tell you why they don't. They can't tell you why they don't, other than just not doing it. It's almost like you looking at something coming your way, but because everybody that's standing in that same line with you are looking at the same thing and saying it's not coming, you're in agreement with them. Even though you see people on the other side saying, we wearing a mask and we are doing it for you. You not wearing a mask is basically saying, I could care less about you. Because the mask is more for others than it is for ourselves. Does the mask potentially protect us? Yes, it does. But the mask generally is set up to where if you sneeze, if you cough, it protects people around you. And if we all do it, it has been proven that numbers go down. Our numbers are on the rise. And the biggest area in the United States right now is Florida. It is not just growing in numbers daily in Florida, but all over the United States. And with this rise and spike in numbers, which we knew was going to happen, and I'm not going to unpack the layers of why it happened today, because time does not afford me to do so. But we have, out of the mouth, if you truly, truly listen to our current person that retains in the White House on Black Lives Matter Boulevard, Black Lives Matter Plaza, that resides there, out of the mouth, he's telling you exactly what he means to say. People think that he's ignorant. He's not making a mistake on what he says. When he tells you to stop taking tests because the tests are making the numbers go up, as dumb as that sounds, he means it exactly what he's saying. And it is a simple truth. The more tests we take, the more numbers we will have. But guess what? The more numbers we have, in his mind, is bad for him. And that lets you know how he thinks. He'd rather Americans go around not realizing that they're ill, living life as if they're not ill, spreading this disease because it looks bad for his reelection. And that is the saddest thing that I ever heard before in my life. Arizona has over 52,000 reports of the coronavirus, COVID-19. And these are amongst the ones that have been tested. You guys, it is not getting better. It is not getting better. We opened up too soon. Every single state in the United States opened up too soon. To be perfectly honest with you, we really should not be open. The state of this world at this particular time, without having a true grasp on this virus, the United States should not be opening. In a normal world, in a world where we were actually being taken care of in the United States, what would be happening right now is we would be closed down and we would be sent a stimulus check monthly to carry the load of the impact of this world, of this uncontained virus, until we get it contained, until there is actually something to get it under control. Whether it is a precautionary step that needs to be done, whether it's a vaccine or a simple cure for it. But because we are in an election year and we have a leader that's caring more about their reelection than you, this is what we have. This is what we are. And it's a serious place that we're in. It is more serious than you can ever imagine. So, on Friday, Juneteenth, in the state that I live in, D.L. Hughley graced the stage of what we call the iconic Zanies in Nashville, Tennessee. He had started on his second show, and in the midst of the beginning of his second show, he got disoriented to the point to where he fell back in his chair and eventually passed completely out. He was rushed to a near hospital in the area, to where later the next day he reappeared on video stating that he was dehydrated and exhausted and tested positive for COVID-19. The reason why the symptoms got away from him, the normal symptoms of fever and everything else, the loss of taste, and you know the list of symptoms that I don't have to name because you have Google and Safari at your fingertips. So just like I know the symptoms, if you have not equipped yourself with them, trust me, you can key it in. CDC, symptoms of COVID-19, they will come up. But he's dealing with something that's a little more scarier than just the basic out there fever and just the obvious symptoms. He's asymptomatic. An asymptomatic person does not have any sign. They can carry on life having no idea that they have it and they're passing it to other people. Someone feeling great, feeling just like themselves. Because being exhausted and being dehydrated had nothing to do with being asymptomatic. The connection with that is it was meant to happen so he can find out that he was asymptomatic, so he can slow down and get himself together. But he had been traveling and things like that, so the dehydration and the exhaustion came and his body just had enough, so it just gave way. And when you enter into a hospital now, one of the main things that they have to do is test to see if you are COVID-19 positive or negative because of the impact that you can have to the suite to where you are in the hospital. So they have to know where you rate in testing. So they had to test him. And his test came back that he has COVID-19. So the seriousness in that is that I am very concerned about, and I pray for a speedy recovery. He is now residing in Nashville for 14 days under quarantine in a hotel room here in the Nashville area, and he has to stay here until he is better, till he has healed or there is no more symptoms of COVID-19. He basically has to do this alone because right now he is considered contagious. And everyone that's around him, managers and bodyguards and all of that have to be tested. It's just that simple. They have to be tested and find out what they're what's the state that they're in. But the bigger situation is all those people that were at Zany's. It's not his fault. This is not on DL at all. Because again, being an asymptomatic person, you will never really know that you have the virus unless you just on a whim just take the test. And that's what I'm leading to. I said this several months back when COVID-19 was at the beginning stage of when we first found out about it. I told my husband, I said, the only way to get something like this under control, babe, is to test everybody. Everybody needs to be tested. Everybody. Because the only way that you can truly contain something is to truly know the true numbers of what's going on. If you're not taking enough tests, if you're not testing enough people, you're only testing a few people, and contact tracing can only lead back to so much because you can't take an account to someone that you pass by in the grocery store that you just gave it to. They don't know you, and you are not going to think of that person doing contact tracing. So you can say you were at Kroger's at 3 p.m. on June 16th. That could be a number amount of people that you pass by. And unless they're contacted and they go to get tested, they'll never know until they get the symptoms. And by that time, they've passed by several other people, and they've passed by several other people, and that person has passed by several other people. This is the problem that we have. And the larger problem that we have is our great leader is stating, do less testing. Less testing brings down the numbers. Which goes back to, at the beginning of all this, why there was such an issue with getting tests. I truly believe now that out of the mouth, people speak. And people don't sometimes they don't realize that when they speak, they're actually telling things that we already thought, but they're giving confirmation to it. Because this has been his thought process all along. And I'm talking about the president of the United States. Less testing, lower numbers. He's still saying that. That is the reason why we're in the state that we're in now. Literally. Because he's harping on less test when the experts, the doctors are saying more test. Wear your mask. Wear gloves if necessary, but definitely wear your mask. Wash your hands. Just these two simple things that you can actually do. Wear a mask, keep your hands clean, 6 feet apart. Three things that you can simply do that can save lives and save your own. Test, 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 test. And on this side, you have the leader of the free world, quote unquote, saying less tests, less numbers. Everything is political to him. Everything is strategic to him. And that will have him fall on his sword in November. And I make it clear that my conversations does not mean any violent action. Everything that I speak of is the power of the vote, the power of action to do, make a difference and to create the change that we desire and need. We must prepare ourselves to vote in the biggest election that we've ever seen in our lifetime. So the rally was switched to June 20th due to he realized the implications of actually having it on Juneteenth. It wasn't a mistake originally that it was on Juneteenth. Let's not fool ourselves. He meant to have it on Juneteenth. He just didn't expect the backlash. He did not expect the conversations. He did not expect so many people to have something to say about it. So when it became a conversation, him and his prideful self and his little ego had to take credit for something that we've known all along. But he made it popular. He made Juneteenth popular in his mind. The saddest part about what's happening now is people have gotten to the point to where they are getting comfortable with the fact that people are dying, and they look at the numbers and they still continue on with life. Now realizing each single day when someone passes, when someone dies, that is somebody who's no longer on earth due to the failures and the inadequacies of not containing this virus the way that it should be. Literally, and I know you guys, most people would not like this, but literally we should be on lockdown. There's no way on earth that this country should be open. There's no way. Everybody that could work from home, but no, there's absolutely no reason why we should be open right now. The way the numbers are spiking right now, and that we're heading boldly into the second wave, where they're trying to ignore. Well, life has told us in so many aspects that just because you ignore something doesn't make it not happen. And just because you don't want to see the numbers doesn't mean that the numbers are not there. It's very serious. This thing is so, so serious that it's going to take us closing down again in order for our eyes to be open. And so many people don't want to face the reality that we open up too fast. I mean, I seen on CNN the other day where 16 people just going to the nightclub, hanging out, all of them got COVID-19. Just hanging out. And you know what one of them said after speaking with one of my favorite hosts of CNN? Chris Cuomo? In hindsight, we knew we were wrong. We shouldn't have been there. We should have been at home. It's way too early to be out. Don't let COVID-19 be the answer or be the example of what to do when you know the information that you're getting is wrong. Let's just all just kind of use a little bit of common sense. If you see numbers are going up, but certain states are still pushing to open up, and these states are virtually red states, know that it's all political. They can't have a care about their people because they're only caring about the political race that's going on because they're being pushed by Trump. They're being pushed by 45 in every aspect. So let's go back to last night, June 20th. June 20th, he had a rally and he boasted about 800,000 people. And then it was going to be almost 1 million people. The numbers just kept changing, right? And he took one arena that said 20,000 and another arena right beside it that was going to be the overflow. And the saddest part about this is the building to which he was in was not filled. It was nowhere near capacity. Six people that were working on the campaign or assisting with the rally, six of them have COVID-19. And the other building to which was supposed to be full was completely empty. So he can ignore the numbers. He can ignore the response that he got. But the writing is on the wall. It's clearly over for him. But I want you guys to listen. And I want you to pay close attention. If you've never paid close attention to me ever before, please pay close attention to me. This is the reason why we all need to be focused. Going forward, there's going to be some trickery. Going forward, because he knows he's losing, we have to make sure that we're looking to every side of us. Because whenever someone of his caliber starts to lose, the evilness within himself is going to rear its ugly head. And Russia, are you listening? China, are you listening? I need you to help me get reelected. Those were not fake comments. Those were not just one-offs. He wasn't just shooting a breeze. We need to pay attention. If something doesn't look right in your area where you're trying to vote, if some rhetoric isn't sounding correct, you need to definitely make some noise. Talk about it. Don't keep it to yourself. It is vital that we have the conversations, because this is the time to get him out. And someone like him, he's going to try to pull every card that he can pull. And we can't afford him. We cannot afford for him to be able to play that Trump card again. This nation is slowly being crushed because of him. And we have to get him out. Your voice, your vote, your future. Our current health crisis has highlighted the racial inadequacies plaguing our country. As we see the pandemic climb at a disproportionate rate and the number of us, black and brown, lives, it becomes imperative that these voices are presented in policy making. Your voice, your vote, is more important now than it ever was. The United States has a long history of voter suppression. People of color overcame significant changes and challenges in order to exercise their right, our right, to vote. Yet, systemically, issues continue to impact our democracy and disenfranchise marginalized groups within a political voice. Voters of color cannot advocate for policies to achieve health equality. With 2020 being a significant election year, it is the election year of more than you will ever know. This is a historic election year. We must recognize the barriers to voting that many people still face and work to eliminate those barriers so that our representatives and laws reflect our increasingly diverse country and help ensure full access and engagement for marginalized communities. You must pledge, I must pledge, to stand against any type of racism, to identify inequality, to speak out against discrimination, and support and work with any organization in your area that's working to eliminate all forms of racism. We must stand together, you guys, and work to getting these people out of the White House and changing our laws and making sure that laws are passed that are changing the conversations and changing the system impactfully. It is now that we do it, now that we try it, now that we have the conversations about voting, now that we teach each other about voting, now that we go into our conversations with each other and share the knowledge that we have with each other and make sure that we are all filled with the same knowledge of how to handle what's about to take place. Now more than ever, we are needing everybody to step up and do what needs to be done to make this happen. We have to make this happen. So one of my favorite housewives left a message, and I want to share this on my podcast. So listen very closely and very seriously.
Hey friends, I wanted to make sure you are informed, okay? So I'm here to tell you that when you go to the polls, they no longer, from what I've been told, put Democrat or Republican next to the candidate's name, okay? So you can no longer just go in there and vote just based off of, oh, I'm voting Democrat or vote Republican. You have to do your research before you get to the polls and have an idea of who you want to vote for, or you might vote for the wrong person whose beliefs are not aligned with yours. So I really encourage you to please go to vote411.org, vote411.org, and put in your zip code, and they will give you the list of all of the people that are up for election, and they'll tell you what their political background is, and some of them have even answered questions so that you can know a little bit more of their beliefs and how they vote. Okay, so please do your research so you will vote for the right person who thinks like you do or believes in what you believe in. Okay?
That was a message from Candace Burris that is on Housewives of Atlanta. That is another conversation that we'll talk about on another blog. But that was some great information to have. So remember, your vote is your voice. Let's get ready. I know it's just June, you guys, but it's not too early. What do you think these protests are for? What do you think the walk in the streets every single day since George Floyd's death has been for? If we do not exercise our right to vote, all of it is in vain. In order to make systemic changes, in order to change the system, in order to get impactful people into the lineup to where we need them to be, voting is what makes that happen. We have to vote. We have to stay knowledgeable. If you don't know what to do, if you're totally confused, you have no idea, nobody's come to you or talked to you about anything, you can reach out to your Congress. You can Google it. You can converse with church members, church organizations in your area. Anywhere right now should be able to give you the necessary information that you need. But if you don't find that information, you can reach back to me on my podcast, and I definitely will reach out to you with any information that you need in your area, in your state, in your city to vote. Again, if you're 17 now, but you'll be 18 before we're ready to vote in November, you can vote in this year's election. It's time to get registered. It's time to be prepared. It's time to know the voting laws in your area, in your city, because every voting laws and regulations is different. But I do know across the board, as long as you're 18 before it's time to vote, you can vote in this year's election. It's very important that we stay in the know. I will come back with monthly, daily, how much it takes to give you all the information that's needed. As much as I can give you, as much as I learn about it, I will pour it into you. I will give you everything that you need to know, because it is more important to share knowledge than retain it. So this is Try Love Speaks and Mrs. H giving you the conversations about what's happening, where we're going to, and how we're going to get over the hump of 45. Take care of yourself, be blessed, and be careful. And I'll talk to you again real soon. Be good.